That's not it.
No fighting in the stands, please. There's a baseball game coming up Tuesday in Washington, D.C. Anybody hear anything about it? It's the All-Star game. It's the All-Star game. Monday night, they'll be having the home run derby. I have always been a fan of baseball. I've been so fortunate in my life to have family members that also love the game of baseball. I know that when I think back in my youngest days, some of the things I was so absolutely thrilled to do were to come home and after school. And when my father got home and he was a roofer, been on that roof and nailing shingles in the hottest of weather. And if I bugged him just enough, he would come out and hit some balls to me. And I know that probably what he didn't feel like doing, but thank God he did it. When I was just a young tyke I grew up in Franconia, down in Burgundy Village and over in Franconia. And many times in the evening, he and I would go into the kitchen and we would turn the radio on to listen to the Senators play on the radio. Yeah, we're way going back here. This is old school, folks. This is an AM radio. That's right. It was an AM radio. And I had no greater joy because sometimes if I look, I guess, thirsty enough. That's right. Hey, you hear this? I have one listener. All you got to do is bring up thirst at his age. He's there. Bob would go over the refrigerator, open it up, and he would get he and I an Upper 10. Everybody remember that soda drink? It's an Upper 10. And we would sit there on a hot summer night, no air conditioning, had a fan in the window, box fan blowing out, had one window open, and we would sit there and listen to the baseball games. He took my brother and I, Paul, down to D.C. Stadium to watch the Senators play. And it was always such a joy for me to go back to memories of the times that I've had with my family around the game of baseball. I was always a huge fan of the local teams. And then up in Baltimore, the Orioles, they had a fellow play for them named Cal Ripken. And I was always a huge fan of Cal Ripken because I thought he and his father and his brother, who also played, that they just epitomized what I believe was character on the field, off the field. Lou Gehrig is known as the Iron Man in baseball. He played for the Yankees back in the 20s and the 30s. And for over 15 years, he played and never missed a game. He played 2,130 consecutive games. Thus, he got that nickname, the Iron Man. And later, after he retired, they'd actually x-rayed both of his hands, and they realized that during that time, each one of his fingers had been broken at some time, and he never missed a game. Later on, Cal Ripken, and I believe I have it written down, was on September the 6th, 1995, and I watched that game when Cal Ripken broke the record of Lou Gehrig. And the night that he broke the record, when it was an official game, they actually stopped the game, and the crowd stood up and cheered and clapped. For 22 minutes, the crowd cheered in the middle of that game for Cal Ripken, beating a record they thought would never be broken. Later on, when he finished that streak at 2,632 games, I was impressed about what a record, what a man. Saturday before last, I got to go see Hunter play. There is no more pride, and I should preach on pride because I was definitely feeling pride that day watching my nephew on that baseball game. And it's such a joy for me to have family enjoyment of a sport. And I know there are plenty of other sports that I know today. Today, right now, there's a sporting event going on that's watched more than any other sporting event. They're playing the World Cup. If anybody in the middle of service yells goal, you'll know they were not listening to me. They had their little cell phones going on. That's why you don't see Miguel or any of the guys that work with me today at church today, because they are watching the game. But for me, baseball has always held such a special place. I love the baseball movies. I would watch them. I'd watch The Natural. I'd watch all them. And there was a movie some years ago called A Field of Dreams. There's a character in it, Kevin Costner. He plays Ray. But there's also a character, his name is called, in the movie, it's called Terrence Mann. And it's played by James Earl Jones. And during this movie, there's a player, it's actually Shoeless Joe Jackson from back in the 1919 Black Sox, they called him, because it was said that they threw the World Series. And he keeps telling Kevin Costner, he hears a voice, build it and they will come, build it and they will come. And in the character, Terrence Mann, James Earl Jones, he says this. He says the one constant throughout all the years has been baseball. Amen. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. Talking about the field that he told him to build, he said, this field, this game is a part of our past. It reminds us of all that once was good and that could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. If you build it, people will come. The question is, how does baseball relate to what I'm going to preach on? I'm going to read you two scriptures. They're found over in 1 Corinthians. It's over in the 9th chapter. The verses that you've heard before. It starts in the 9th chapter, the 24th verse of 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And then in the 25th verse it reads, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown. Remember this, they do to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Heavenly Father, I had a special blessing on the reading of your word. And God, for just a few moments, allow us to focus on the truth that you have for us today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name and all God's people. Amen, amen, amen. In baseball, you're on a team. And the greatest players I've ever known were team players. Folks, it's hard for me to sometimes go through a prayer request and to pray and to hear the comments and just be overwhelmed by emotions when I think of how Mount Calvary is a team. And I thank each and every one of you for being team players. Not concerned about the individual accolades or rewards that we may receive, but how each one willing to work together, for God's glory. In baseball, there's a team, and we must become the team players. I saw Hunter a week ago Saturday in the second game, the first pitch got up. First swing, hit it over the left fielder's head, all the way to the wall, made a double, drove in a run. Next time up, he hit one right up the middle over there and drove in a run. Was I proud? Oh, yes, I was proud. Told everyone around, that's my nephew over there. But the thing that I was most proud of, and I can say this because he's not here today, the first game of the doubleheader, he sat on the bench. Didn't start. Did not get in the game any. Came out in between innings to help warm up the pitcher. Just to prove to everybody that catching will never be in his future. Trust me. He's way too tall to be a catcher. When a ball would be hit over by the dugout and out of play, here it was, run out of the dugout, go get the ball, may throw it back in. To me, he did all the things that are necessary to be a team player. And to me, that's what I was most proud of. I know when I played, and I was on the bench, old Charlie was not a happy camper. I'm like, hey, put me on the bench. Why don't I come out here? They ain't going to blame me. I'm like the little boy on Father's Day. Father's at home reading the paper, and the little boy goes up to him and says, Pop, either play me or trade me. Do something with me. But Hunter epitomized what I felt was team play. It's when you're not in the front. It's when you're in the background and you're doing the smallest things of encouragement to others. I believe that God sees and God can take those smallest things and bless them. In baseball, you have a coach. So listen to the coach. I can guarantee you that I'm not the coach here at Mount Calvary because no one listens to me. I should hear some amens on that. We have guests walk in. They see these folks get up and start talking. They see me up here waving my arms, taking cowbells, doing this. And they go, oh, he's like that. He'll sit. Don't worry. I'm not talking about me. Folks, this whole book is written about the coach of our team, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Hebrews, second chapter in the 18th verse, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. There's no feeling that you're going through. There's no suffering that you're going through that God has not felt it with you and sent his son to die upon a cross. I can't believe the strength that I've felt on folks in here that have lost loved ones so recently. But I believe without a shadow of a doubt that that strength comes from their faith in God. And that God has simply lifted them up through the most difficult times. And somebody else other than Lucas ought to say amen to that. In a baseball game, you got a team, be a team player. You got a coach, so you ought to listen to the coach. And I think you ought to be there and play it till the end. Because in the end, I've read the back of the book, we win. At the funeral on Friday, I used the scripture, which I'm going to use again today, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, and all those who will love his appearing. Folks, we're not fighting for something that's temporary. we're not putting our efforts and our faith into something that just is here and gone. No. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I hate to say it, but the happiest men that I know this morning are those who are dancing, who are singing in heaven. I know there's struggles in this world. I know there are challenges. When I went to the game on Saturday a week ago, I showed up. It was down in D.C. at the Maury Wills Stadium, beautiful turf field. It's right next to Howard University. As I walked up, my sister Lori was there ahead of me, and she says, "Look what I've got." And I said, "Man, that's a nice one. That's a nice one." Right next to the field, there's some tennis courts. And somebody had hit a tennis ball from somewhere over there. Lori says, "I found this out in the street on the way in." She says, "Do you realize how excited we would have been as kids to find a tennis ball this new?" Has anybody ever had a tennis ball where you wear all the fuzz off of it? Come on. You know? Somebody's know what I'm talking about. You can't tell where the seams were. The thing looks downright nasty. But if that's all you had, that's what you played with. We were fortunate. We lived down in Burgundy Village, and they had the creek in the back. And I talked my older brother and some of the fellas in there that when it rained, they would run down to the creek with these big old dip nets. Because we were hoping that the rich kids up the creek would leave their little kickballs in the yard, and they would wash into the creek. And as they were floating down, we'd be dipping it up. And man, when they come with that brand new, to us, brand new kickball, man, it was like finding gold. True story. Folks, there are things that God will give you. There are things that He will give you exactly in the time that you need them. There are things that God will give you that I believe that you should absolutely cherish. I was tickled when I went over on Thursday for the viewing, and I saw Brother Ford over there. And he had his work clothes on. When I left, he was over there. Carol, he was making that hearse absolutely spotless. I came closer, and he gave me one of those looks like, "Don't put your fingerprint on that now, Charlie. Don't you do that." But he smiled, didn't say a word. And to me, an individual doing their part, no matter how big, no matter how small, is something that God will bless. I told Brother Ford, I said, "Well, Brother Ford, it's pretty dry out there. We're coming over here to the cemetery. If you want me to, I'll go over there and vacuum the cemetery out so there won't be any dust." And he gave me another one of those looks. Folks, I really don't know why we've been as blessed as much as we have. These last few weeks could have been times of just despair. But God has seen us through. It could have been times when we would question our faith and our belief. But no, God has seen us through. And as I am looking forward to the day where I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith, because God will see you through. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in your house, and God, you've been so good to us today. You've allowed us to come in and share this time of, uplifting joy one to another. Now, Heavenly Father, once again, we ask that you bless each one of these prayer requests which were mentioned earlier. God, just reach out and touch hearts. And we thank you for the way that you've just put the pieces together to bring closure for individuals, to just uplift them when they've been through such tough times. Now, Heavenly Father, give us safe traveling mercies as we each one hit our way. Allow us to take the joy of the Lord wherever we go. And always let us be thankful unto you for what you did for us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen.